Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Second down 9. Darnold getting messy, going deep, and he's got Jefferson. He's got Jefferson. It's a foot race downfield with Brown. Shifting gears. Getting a block. That's 6. 97 yards. Holy smokes.
Holy smokes is right. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. What a stinker in Minnesota. The longest touchdown the 49ers have ever given up in franchise history. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. After not getting a touchdown on 4th and goal from the 2-yard line, they run a cover 0 blitz. Purdy, not a clean pocket. Free rusher. They knew it was a free rusher coming. He pats it down. Was it Van Ginkle? And then the next couple plays later, play action pass. And this is the play we'll break down with Baldy tomorrow, and the play we'll break down today, 888-957-9570, because the Niners lost in every facet of the game. Special teams, offense, defense, coaching, you name it. Minnesota was the better team by far and away. The Niners were lucky to be in that football game in the fourth quarter. But that 97-yard touchdown pass from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson, clean pocket, steps up. And George Odom is at the line of scrimmage pressing Justin Jefferson. Tig Brown is over the top. Got caught looking in the backfield on the play action pass because Minnesota was being effective early on in running the football. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, Justin Jefferson did the rest. It smoked Odom and Tig Brown. That's kind of a microcosm of what went down yesterday. I thought a big field goal before halftime for Minnesota. Party wasn't all the way on this game. Even though he threw for 300 yards, he wasn't on this game. Flores had a hell of a game plan. Shanahan got out coached yesterday, so Shasky doesn't like to dissect here. It's not doom and gloom. It's week 2. They're 1-1. But after the news of Christian McCaffrey being out for at least 4 weeks, and folks, I got news for you. I don't think it's going to be 4 weeks. People are feeling detention right now with the 49ers coming off of that training camp.
Okay, so obviously this is not the end of the world, but that was a crummy loss. Like, it just is. It's a crummy loss. Here's my biggest takeaway, and I don't want to get into all of it. Like, there's so many elements to this game. Does my coach understand clock management? Does my coach understand that, like, at the end of a game, in the fourth quarter, there are only so many scenarios that can play itself out, right? So, like, obviously what happened in the Super Bowl is going to hang over him forever, right? There's just no other way around it. But I swear to God, I wanted someone to ask him the whole, like, the sequencing in the fourth quarter. How does a 12-year-old playing Madden understand when to go for two? How does a 12-year-old playing Madden understand that a 5-yard delay of game penalty in the third quarter is not worth burning a timeout for? All right? When you literally completed a pass on 2nd and 17 two plays prior. How do they not understand this? Last year, McVay burned more timeouts in the third quarter than anybody in the NFL, and he hires himself a clock management guru. Shanahan needs to do the same. I don't know what they were doing. The final drive, you're down multiple scores. So even if you get a touchdown, you're fighting the clock, okay? You're fighting the clock. Like, we could talk about getting out-hit, out-schemed. Like, I have all that. But, like, to me, do you understand the clock? I'm watching Eberflus in the Sunday Night Football game. He understood, I have one timeout left. I need to score a field goal here to be able to stop the other team and get the give myself a chance to get the ball back to give me an opportunity. When you're down multiple scores and you have zero timeouts, okay? The only other timeout left when it's over the 2-minute warning is that 2-minute stoppage. And instead of kicking a field goal after the Sobert play over the middle, okay, they decide to run up to the line and they're going to score a touchdown. And then coming out of the 2-minute break, you throw a backwards pass to Debo? Like, the results are irrelevant to me. What tells me there, do you understand clock management? That was my biggest takeaway from yesterday. Like, really? You're allowed to have a stinker of a game. You're allowed to turn the ball over. You're allowed to muff a punt. You're allowed to, I don't know why, but you're allowed to not get stops on third down. You're allowed to let Sam Darnold have a monster game and Justin Jefferson to have one of those iconic moments. What you're not allowed to do is not understand clock management and possession. And to me, that's the number one takeaway from this game. Kyle, do you understand when you're down multiple scores, clock is your enemy?
Well, I don't know if that's my number one takeaway. It's a problem, no doubt about it, but it's not my personal number one takeaway. My number one takeaway is third down. And they're struggling right now to get off the field on third down. And yesterday, third down, they were unable to stay on the field by converting third downs. They were 2 of 10 on third down, which, you know, despite owning the time of possession for the second week in a row, they had over 34 minutes of time of possession. They were 2 of 10 on third down. So not extending drives, not converting on critical downs. 1 of 3 on fourth down. You're 1 of 3 on fourth down. You're 2 of 10 on third down, and you give up 7 third down conversions. That, to me, is not good enough, especially on the final drive where Minnesota is up 20-14, and they burned over 6 minutes of time of possession, 6 minutes and 46 seconds off a drive by converting on multiple third downs. I look at the third down before halftime, 3rd and 13. You're up. You're down 10-7. Donald hits Jefferson. They get a first down on 3rd and 13. It sets up a field goal that looms large at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. It looms large. Those extra 3 points make it a 2-possession game. So, you know, you got out-schemed. Flores has something on Shanahan and Purdy. He disguised so much stuff to the point where Purdy, after the game, was like, hey, dude, your scheme is crazy,
that
bro.
That was crazy.
Like, that was crazy. But Purdy was befuddled at times yesterday. And in the pass game on third down, Jordan Mason ran great. Great. No problem with the back-to-back 100-yard days. But the McCaffrey loss in the pass game. Now you don't have that running back to throw to out of the backfield. That's going to loom large here over the next month or two.
I don't know if you saw any, like, breakdowns after the game on the different networks, but I was listening to the various conversations about, like, what exactly did Brian Flores do? Because we're watching, like, the telecast feed and, like, you know, the NFL network and stuff. They have access to some of the different angles that we don't get a chance to see. And they're like, look, you got to understand that when you have CMC in the backfield as a check down option, you're forced to run more zone than you would like. And when you can man up across the board and then drop your safeties deep, now you can have 6, 7, sometimes eight they did one time, guys that are dropping back. And so you have man-to-man and various zones. You're not worried about the check down going for 15 yards, going for 7-8 yards when it's just a 2 and 3 yard check down. So it just changes the back end of that coverage. Well, last year, when you run in zone, Ayuk had 18 yards to catch, right? Debo Samuel was eaten. George Kittle was eaten. And we know that Brock Purdy will dice up your windows in zone. Yesterday, how many different times did you see a linebacker sprinting over the middle? Now, that guy is being defended by one guy, and here comes the zone defender or the other guy sprinting over to bat that ball that they wanted to throw in the middle of the field. You saw it on Debo, Juice. You saw it on the interception pass. Like, they were kind of lucky there weren't more interceptions in that game. And I actually thought Purdy played a pretty decent game, given that he was lit up six times for sacks.
Yeah, he got sacked six times yesterday. I don't think Trent Williams had a great game yesterday. He got called for a hold. He wasn't that sharp. And that's to be expected after he missed all of camp. Although last week, he didn't give up pressure on Monday Night Football. I don't think he was as sharp yesterday. This who's this kid? For the Minnesota Vikings.
Van Winkle?
Blake Cashman. 13 tackles.
He got his hand
three passes defense, the sack. He was everywhere for Blair Flores. Cashman, it's like, man, he's making some cash today. Literally, against the 49ers going sideline to sideline. He was everywhere. But to your point about, you know, I thought the loss of McCaffrey in the pass game was really looming because all of a sudden the screen game is not there. You can't run your typical screens. You're not affected by the screens. So Minnesota's like, hey, they're not going to run. He ran a couple tight end screens to George Kittle, but not to Christian McCaffrey at all. So, and then the deep shots. Can I get a deep shot or two? I feel like you got to stretch the defense at various times in the football game to let them know. Now, I don't know if the deep routes were involved. I don't know if they were dialed up or whatnot, but not too many deep shot. Not one deep shot over like 30 yards yesterday, Shasky. Just give me a bob to try to test the defense here. Maybe you didn't have the time to do it. I'm not sure. Ayuk didn't look great. I saw the first play of the game. If you go back and look at the first play of the game, Ayuk getting off the line of scrimmage. I know I'm bouncing all over the place here, but Ayuk got the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Just got bumped out of the route. I was like, wow. I mean, just bumped out of the route. It was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Where's his... I'm not trying to dissect it, like, but where was the normal energy that you see from him after he makes a play? Like, last year, he'd make a play, and there was a swagger, there was a confidence. I'm not here to say that, like, the guy doesn't want to play on the team. That's way too far of an angle. But, like, sums up. And then he catches that pass on 2nd and 17 before they burn that timeout. Yeah. He makes a big-time catch. I'm like, wow. After the first drive, you didn't see anything from Ayuk for almost two full quarters. And then he makes a big catch. And then he jogs off the field?
Yeah.
He's jogging off the field. What? Like, guys, we're down here. We can ill afford to have Ayuk walking off the field as Kittle is being announced. Kittle is on a cart getting an IV. Like, what are we doing? Something's going on with the Ayuk thing. And
Well, he's not ready yet.
It was the energy.
He's not ready yet. He's not. And we knew that was baked into the equation. So I don't remember what Bob. 510 says one bob to Debo on the sideline. Okay, but I just thought Minnesota was just a better team. At the end of the day, they out-physicaled the 49ers. They out-hit the 49ers. They out-coached the 49ers. They out-schemed the 49ers. And you know what? Sam Darnold made himself some money yesterday.
Ponte.
He's going to be a free agent after the season. And a lot of people laughed at Sam Darnold, but with Justin Jefferson, and they didn't have Jordan Addison. God forbid they had Jordan Addison yesterday. Minnesota just has the 49ers number up in that stadium. They haven't won there since 1992. And for whatever reason, the Niners can't get stops on third down right now. And that's the other question. We're going to have a conversation about Nick Sorensen at third down soon. They got to figure out third downs. Well, it's borderline egregious. I know we talked a lot about Steve Wilkes last year to cover zero blitz at the end of the first half. That's bad. That's bad, bad. It probably cost him his job. But to have George Odom impress man against Justin Jefferson down at the goal line, and you get no pressure, and the help is Tig Brown. So you got George Odom and Tig Brown trying to guard the best wide receiver in football. That's a joke. That needs to be examined.
With your number one cornerback in postgame being asked by, is it Matt Lively from KPIX?
Matt Lively.
He's asked him, like, hey, well, you know, what's going on? You know, the ball's not getting thrown your way a lot. Charvarius Ward says, well, you know, I like to play exclusively against the number one receiver of the other team. He's already calling out the DC? What? What? Like, okay, The throw of the game. Everyone's going to look at the Justin Jefferson ball. Man, that was a beautiful throw. The amount of times Darnold climbed in the pocket and made great throws was bountiful. I mean, it was many of them. This was the throw of the game. It's 3rd and 8.
Yep.
They're on the fringe field goal zone, okay?
Where
it's not a guarantee that they hit it, but they're probably going to hit. And if you get a stop there and they get a field goal, you've got time. Because, again, you still had your two timeouts because you burned one in the third quarter. And Darnold throws a 27-yard strike over Yadam's shoulder, and it was right to Naylor. It was a perfect
26
throw.
yards.
It was a perfect
third
throw.
3rd and 8, 26
absolute
yards.
Perfect throw. And right there, they get to kind of basically soak up field goal time. And then he has another third down to get them right into the goal line, which soaks up another 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, 2 or 3 minutes. But to me, those were the plays for Sam Darnold. You referenced his run earlier.
Yeah.
What are we doing? I don't even know what the coverage was on the back end on that. It was just...
Well, there's three guys over there. It looked like they're in the zone. I'm not sure what the hell was going on that play, but three guys around there. Darnold just throws a dime down the seam to Naylor, 3rd and 8 at the 46-yard line. So they run 6 minutes and 46 seconds off the clock. Remember, they received the kickoff when the Niners cut it to 20-14. They received the kickoff. Now there's a conversation whether or not you go for two. You go for two because you limit them to a field goal. All of a sudden, you're down 23-15. Instead of 23-14. So the situation and the math is just not mathing right now for this 49ers coaching staff and Kyle Shanahan. But the Vikings received the ball with 10 minutes and 16 seconds left. By the time the Niners got the ball back, there was 3:30 left.
It was a great drive by them. And credit to Minnesota Vikings, they were running the ball all game. If it weren't for this, by the way, it's taken 20 minutes. If it wasn't for multiple miraculous Fred Warner plays, they lose by multiple touchdowns going away. Let's just call it what it is. Fred had a red zone interception on a beautiful, I mean, he was diving, twisting, going back. And then Fred punches the ball out from Aaron Jones on a perfectly dialed up screen pass while they were blitzing D'Amino Lenore on the opposite end. I thought Kevin O'Connell was in his bag. How about the 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9 play where he runs the rub route and frees up a wide open guy and the DBs are not paying attention. They get the turnover, okay, on Brock Purdy. What's the first play? Let's do the fake. We're going to have the wide receiver come inside the tight end and then slip out for a wide open touchdown. You could dial up 7 or 8 specific plays from this one where Kevin O'Connell was light years ahead of the 49er coaches.
Yeah, no, he was really good. He was really good yesterday. Sam Darnold had this pass rush, man. I know Bosa ended up with 2 sacks, but it's not enough. And, you know, Ty Chandler ran hard for the Vikings yesterday over 80 yards. The fact that they're running so much at Nick Bosa as a defensive end, that's alarming to me. Opponents are way too comfortable running at number 97. And you're right. Fred Warner made Hall of Fame level plays. He doesn't get the interception. Minnesota goes up 17-0. He doesn't force the fumble. Minnesota goes up 27-7. So he made Hall of Fame type plays. Hall of Fame type. I mean, Fred Warner's playing out of his mind, but he has to right now because the pass rush is inconsistent. I didn't hear Leonard Floyd's name at all yesterday.
Not once.
Maybe he had to do some more blitzing. The scheme of the back end looks a little suspect right now. So we're learning right now. We're learning about Nick Sorensen, and he's on the clock. He's on the clock to figure this out. But Shanahan, that may be one of his worst games coached in the last 5 years.
So there's 10 minutes to go. You score a touchdown. I want to examine this for just 1 second. There's 10 minutes to go. You score a touchdown. How many possessions do you think are left in that game?
Oh, it's probably 2 to 3.
Total,
at the most.
Total possessions.
At the most.
Yeah. Okay, so... You score the touchdown. It's 20-13, okay? You have the opportunity to kick an extra point. Now, if you kick the extra point, and they score a field goal, all right? Now they're up 9 points. That's 2 scores.
Yep. So go
if
for
you
two.
If you miss the extra point, just hear me out. If you miss the extra point or you miss the 2-point conversion, it's 20-13. If they kick a field goal, they're up 10. It's still 2 scores.
Yep.
Either way. If you go for the 2 points right then and there, it's 20-13. You get the 2. It's a 5-point game. And if they score a field goal, it's an 8-point game, which means it's a touchdown and a 2-point conversion away. How? This is on a laminated sheet. Yeah. Everyone can have it. I'm not the only one who has this. Like, again, everyone has it. And I go back to clock management, understanding the scoreboard, understanding situational football. You talked about third downs. That's situational football. Yep. I'm looking at this. Time of possession and game, specific game moments. Do you understand how few possessions are left and what you have to do to put your team in a mathematical advantage now, to be in that game?
To be fair, Shanahan probably was counting on the defense to get a stop. That's why, because when I saw him trot out the field goal team there, right away I thought, boy, okay, even if you hold him to a field goal, you're down 8. Now I was thinking to myself, all right, maybe it's not a big deal. And it turned out to be the biggest deal because you don't go for two and your defense doesn't get a stop. Now, he was counting on his defense to get a stop here. They paid to get a stop. They got all these Pro Bowl players and all pro players, and you have Nick Bosa here. But you look on the first 3rd and 7, pow, 11 yards. All right? The 3rd and 8 that you mentioned, Naylor, 28 yards. Another 3rd and 2, pow, 5 yards. I mean, they got three third down conversions on their first three third down attempts on that final drive. You have to get off the football field. You don't get off the football field, and by the way, on that final drive, Justin Jefferson was on the sideline.
No.
He was out.
There was no Hockenson for the whole game. No Addison for the whole game.
Aaron Jones
hurt his oblique midway through the game after the fumble, and Justin Jefferson was out. That final drive by Kevin O'Connell was a masterclass in schematics, and credit Sam Darnold. Sam, I owe you an apology. Not only did you make gunslinger plays all game, I thought after you threw the interception to Fred, you were going to throw another one. Huh, no, he was brilliant in this game. So, tip of the cap to Sam Darnold, and it's sounding like from some of the people that are covering this team, the Niners defense was kind of discrediting Sam Darnold all week.
The streets are saying, this is funny. I got to make my guy laugh a little bit. The streets are saying, Shasky's so mad at the Niners. He came in with Giants gear.
That's exactly right.
Got swept by the Padres.
That's exactly right. Well, we might fire Farhan.
They got swept by the Padres. My man's wearing Giants gear. He's so mad at the Niners, man.
It's like the NCAA. We were so mad at Jerry Tarkanian and UNLV. We suspended Baptist Christian from the playoffs.
Oh, man. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Niner fans, where you at? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's your big takeaway? What's the reason they lost yesterday up in Minnesota to drop the 1-1 on the season? They got addressed by Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell. What a game for Minnesota. They dominated every aspect. Special teams, block punt. Oh, my gosh. Football punt snap. Lucky to get that back. Unbelievable game yesterday by the Minnesota Vikings, man. They take it to the 49ers on the road. So we'll be talking about that all day long. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll be taking your calls on the other side.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to the morning motherfucking rolls with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Big Pump, what up? All roasters, 888-957-9570. Line them up, folks. Line them up as we get your reaction here to the Niners' Week 2 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. By the way, in the loss, Purdy over 300 yards passing. Mason, 100 yards rushing. Deebo Samuel, 110 yards receiving. The Niners finished with a 300-yard passer, 100-yard rusher, and a 100-yard receiver the same game for the first time since December the 10th in 2023 when they took on the Seattle Seahawks. McCaffrey had 145. Ayuk had 126. Deebo had 149. Purdy had 368, but it didn't matter. And look, I know Purdy threw for 300 yards, but it wasn't a pretty game for him. It was not a pretty game for Brock Purdy. By the way, shout out our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast today, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Our boy Alex in Atlanta, Shasky. Mm. Our boy, and we're going to get to Shaka. I'm going to get Shaka because he's a Viking fan. But our boy Alex in Atlanta on Twitter. One of the biggest takeaways I have from yesterday's game is that the Niners were only able to pressure Sam Darnold on 9.7% of his dropbacks.
Wow.
He was back there ordering room service, lattes, taking a shower. He did whatever he wanted to do in the pocket yesterday. He went 17-26 for 268.
It just felt like they were a step ahead of the Niners all day, whether it was on offense or on defense. And I was thoroughly impressed with Kevin O'Connell. Just – some of the routes and the combinations that he was running against different looks that the Niners were throwing out there. He ran twice, and you referenced this, but two big chunk runs in a row right at Bosa. And there were a couple other opportunities where Bosa stunted onto the inside, almost like they knew it was coming, and they said, all right, we're going to jump to the outside. They ran right up the middle four straight times on that last drive. Right. Okay? Four straight times. I
need a little more from Bosa.
Well,
I need a little more for him.
Quite frankly, Bonte, I was thinking about this because I knew that was coming, and I think it's an appropriate ask from you is we need more from Bosa. I need more from all my high pipe players, not named Fred Warner. I thought that, you know, Debo had a really good game. Actually, you know, I take that back. Debo had a good game.
Debo was solid.
He made a couple of sick catches. Behind him in traffic.
High throws from Purdy over the middle.
Trent Williams had a false start. Trent Williams gave up a sack in this game.
Did he have a holding, too?
He looked sluggish. I didn't even have the holding down on my chart. I thought Brandon Ayuk, you know, he made a really nice catch on a long pass, and then immediately just, I'm going to go to the side. What? I get it. You're out of shape, or maybe you're not ready, but like, I'm sorry. No. Like, let's go. Yeah, George Kittle, I know he got the IV, but I thought he had a solid game, best game.
Yeah, George Kittle was solid.
Hargrave, nearly MIA. Nearly MIA in this game. I thought that Charvarius Ward was quiet because they didn't have him in the right position.
A lot
of my high-paid players just didn't really have great games.
We have Charvarius Ward out yet? We have that... He wanted to shadow the best receiver. And D'Amore Lenore has the same mindset. So I got back to the 97-yard touchdown play. What the hell is George Odom doing pressing Justin Jefferson at the line of scrimmage? Who thought that was a good idea? I'm sorry.
And
George Odom, in-man press man on Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
think about that, folks.
No.
That's bad execution. I don't know. We'll get Baldy tomorrow. Did Kevin O'Connell manipulate the formation? Did he manipulate the assignment? That just cannot happen whatsoever. George Odom impressed, man, on Justin Jefferson. That is laughable.
In the slot.
Laughable.
In the slot from the, whatever, 2 or 3 yard line, right? Like, and the crazy thing was, is like, I liked the play call on fourth down. I would have ran it, though. Like, Mason's running hard. So Mason basically has 72 yards at halftime. They come out, and I believe the second play of their first possession, he runs for 9, 10, 11 yards. Let's just say he's got 80 yards on 12 carries. The rest of the game. I think he ended up with 8 carries for about 19 yards.
Yeah, they stuffed him down there.
They adjusted.
They adjusted to the scheme.
Big
and they took away that first down passing. All right, let's get to the calls because the show's about everybody. We go guest-free here on the morning roast the day after the game.
On catching a punt return.
Shaka in Berkeley, what's happening? Shaka.
Hey, man.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That was a good game, man. I won't put too much into it. It's just one game, man. But what I will say is Queasy, our general manager, was the general manager of the offseason because he added Gilmore, added Cashman, he added Van Ginkle, and he added Grenard. So that he did a great job in adding defense. And Purdy was rushed a lot, and everybody's giving Trip Williams a pass, man. Hey, that pressure was coming from his side, man. So I guess they knew he was fresh in camp, and he had missed a lot. So, you know, it got tough. And they played early in the morning. So I would think if you're not practicing at 10 o'clock in the morning, if you're practicing at 2 or 3 o'clock, that morning, getting up in that morning made a lot of difference, man. I'm not going to put too much on the game. I think we'll see. But one thing you got to always remember, they played two NFC Central teams in the playoffs. They played the Green Bay first, then they played Detroit. Both of those teams ran on the point. So take this everywhere. And the last thing I want to say is, if they must not watching tape, because Van Ginkle intercepted the ball, a screen pass last week against the Giants. And they tried that same play. He almost intercepted it, and Debo caught it. And that was the end of the game because they didn't have any time up. When he should have dropped the ball because the clock would have stopped. He didn't get any yards.
Shaka, those are great points there. But real quick about Van Ginkle. Get your mic on, Shaska. Van Ginkle, Blake Cashman, these guys, Stephon Gilmore, we all laughed at him. It's like, man, he looks good. Stephon Gilmore, Byron Murphy Jr., I've always liked this young man wearing number 7 for Minnesota. They've got a sneaky good team. And his point about the NFC Central teams, I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about that, Shasky. Green Bay didn't run the ball on the Niners in the playoffs. Detroit didn't run the ball on the Niners in the playoffs. And he's right, the tape is out there, and Minnesota had that tape. And they ran the ball very effectively. They ran the ball for 6 yards a carry yesterday. 24 carries, 146 yards. 6 yards a carry yesterday for the Minnesota Vikings, man. Shaka's on to something there. Shaka and Berkeley, good win yesterday. Congrats.
Two different backs were running it down their throats, and they did a great job, you know, diversifying. Some were tosses to the outside where they're cutting back. Some were right up the middle. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it that the run game right now in terms of stopping the run is horrific. Now, the clock stuff at the end, like, there's a 40-second clock, called play clock, right? Let's just say it takes you 45 seconds, give or take, to run a play and then the clock to drain down. So you're looking at 1 minute and 45 seconds, right? So even if they score a touchdown on that Debo play coming out of the 2 minute, there's like 12 to 15 seconds left on the clock when you get the ball. Conceivably, right? Even if you get the stop in that situation, it's all the onside kick. To me, the way that they like set that up, you have to know as a head coach, like, all right, with like 3 minutes to go, I need to, once I get in field goal range, I got to kick the field goal because I only have the, you know, the one stoppage of time because I burned all my timeouts, which is the 2 minute warning. I have to score with time left on the 2 minute side, if you will, to give myself an opportunity to get the ball back. Right. And so that's where to me, we could lose our minds about schematics and all that stuff. Like, I'm talking playoffs. This is big picture playoff stuff. No one game to me is going to make or break this team for the playoffs. Now, does it determine seeding? Yes. How do you not understand the clock stuff? You're in year eight.
Well, here's the other thing. I want to nip this in the bud real quick. Because there's this assumption that the Niners are just going to be in the playoffs. When it was announced that McCaffrey is going on IR, heard from a lot of people. Well, it's fine. We just save him for the playoff run and da 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 da. You got to get to the playoffs first. There's no guarantee
you get
to the playoffs. I'm dead serious here. We got to play this thing week by week. Weird things happening in the NFL. We've already seen injuries. McCaffrey's out for a while. Pacheco's got a fractured fibula in Kansas City. Hollywood Brown's had another shoulder surgery. Injuries, the Rams are beat up. They have nobody protecting Matthew Stafford. So I hear you on the playoffs and long term, and they have to fix the clock situation. They have to get off the field on third down. But I'm going to stop with this assumption that the Niners are just going to be in the playoffs.
No, that's fair.
It's just like, wait a minute, we're 1-1, and they're not looking great right now. There's a lot of things happening with this team internally and externally.
No doubt about it. But like, I'm talking big picture on this coach. Like, and I love Kyle. I legitimately love Kyle. I think he's a really good coach. This is a huge blind spot for him. Stop burning timeouts in the third quarter to waste a delay a game. Treat it as a false start. Take the 5 yards back and just go there. You know why? Because it always comes down in the fourth quarter. It's like first half, you want to burn a timeout for wasting a delay of game, because I don't know if you noticed, it was a constant theme in the first half, it was the delay of game. We're right up against it, gotta call hike. You saw Purdy clapping. Stop burning third quarter timeouts to preserve the delay of game penalty. Just take the penalty.
Even with that said, you got to get off the field on the final possession.
Of course.
Minnesota ran 6:46 left and converted three straight third downs, including a third and eight and another third long, third and seven or whatnot. All right, we got a break here. Rhea Lancaster, Zachary Redwood City, John and Dapp, but lines are lit up here as we react to the Niners' loss to the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to get to everybody. We'll rat-a-tat-tat these calls coming up here. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Running back. The fake.
Trap game next week.
Kevin O'Connell. How's his boys rolling? Mark the tape. We beat them by 20.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not going there.
Mark it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We are. Don't worry.
They're going to mark it.
Just like the Patriots were going to lose by 20 yesterday.
Listen to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte Chasky. Oh, baby.
I didn't tell those guys to play that. I didn't tell those guys to cut it. But boy, you know, you guys say that I don't get a lot of things right. Trap game. And we ate the cheese, baby. And they caught the mouse. Oh, boy. Segment sponsored by Go to St. Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToSt.Lumber.com. I know my old buddy who is the voice of the 49ers right now. He loves Sam Darnold. He loves Sam Darnold. It was hard for me not to think of that guy yesterday as Sam Darnold was throwing dime after dime after dime. And look, I'm just saying, Sam Darnold's a free agent at the end of the season. He's a free agent at the end of the season.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, I was wrong about this one big time.
That was a hell of a deep ball, too. So what I'm saying is, he's a free agent, Chasky. And,
I'll wear it.
You know, we'll see what happens with Brock Purdy here in the future. I'll just leave that out there.
There's just so many elements to this game. We haven't even gotten to it. Like, Debo, well, they get a punt blocked, and Wisnowski, instead of just falling on the ball, you know, it's only going to be a couple yard difference. He made a total business decision, and I'm not going to drop on that ball. I'm good off that. Not that it was going to change Minnesota getting the ball, but that was a beautifully blown blocked. I don't know what they were doing up front. The guy just went right by Robert Beal Jr. And then Cowing muffs a punt. And in between that, Debo is returning kicks, by the way. Not sure if you're paying attention, folks. And he stopped at the 17-yard line. All right, gets stuffed. It looks like, uh-oh, is he get rolled up? No, there's a flag on the play. Let's go back to the 10. Special teams had a horrific day yesterday.
Oh, special teams was awful. It was god-awful. Getting off the field on third down, awful. Down the distance, awful. 2 of 10 for the 49ers on third down, awful. The red zone woes. You know, Moody did kick 6 field goals against the New York Jets yesterday in the red zone. They had their struggles.
Can I ask you this question?
Like, sure.
You and I both think that Brandon Ayuk's very good, right? Is he Justin Jefferson? Clearly not. Like, no, I don't think many people were saying that, though. So let's be fair here. He's a very good player. You just invested $30 million into him, right? And we can argue about whether that's even appropriate on this team because they're a run-first team. How does a guy who we talked all offseason about get his second target with 5:55 to go in the third quarter?
It's kind of wild.
How? How are you not getting this guy involved? Now, I'll listen to the, hey, he's just not up to speed and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's a game you needed playmakers to go out there and make plays. Head coach, let's go. Let's dial something up for this guy. He's making $30 million. We spent all offseason talking about Brandon Ayuk. Come game time, Kyle Juszczyk is getting targets 2-1. How does that happen?
Well, he was going to Debo a lot yesterday. Debo was, it felt like, the man featured. And then Juwan Jennings made some big plays there in the pass game as well. But Ayuk, I'm not sure if he's I looked at the first play of the game. He got jabbed so hard off the line of scrimmage. I don't see the same swagger. Maybe it's the haircut. I don't like the fact that he cut the dreads. He went to the braids now, so he cut it down a little bit.
It's not the haircut.
I know it's not the haircut, Shask. I'm just throwing it out there. Relax. But I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question for Baldy. So watch it back. I was just like, all right, maybe that was just part of the game plan. Part of the game plan, but they got to get him rolling. There's no doubt about that. But one thing is, they missed McCaffrey, and that's something we're going to talk about here all throughout the week. He's on IR, folks, and I don't believe he's missing 4 games. Again, last week I mentioned that it will be, in my mind, here's how Bonte Hill is rolling for the rest of the year. In my mind, whatever they get from Christian McCaffrey is an absolute bonus. I'm not expecting nothing from 23 because I have questions. Is it just the Achilles? Is it the calf? Is he overcompensating for the Achilles? Is there another? Like, what's going on here? Is there more to the equation with Christian McCaffrey? So McCaffrey not being involved in the pass game, now you're missing that running back out of the backfield that all these teams have. All these good teams have a back out of the backfield who they could check it down to get you in 3rd-and-1 situations, 3rd-and-2 situations, and they're going to miss that. Is there somebody on the street they could sign who can replenish that? Is Kareem Hunt ready to roll? I don't know. But you're missing Christian McCaffrey in the passing game.
But I hear you on that. But you have enough playmakers on this team to be able to move the ball properly. Like that. If they
moved the ball yesterday. They moved the ball at times.
Situationally, I thought they were behind the sticks all day.
They were behind the sticks all day.
You know, they were behind the sticks all day, and they didn't pass protect well. And so Purdy was running for his life. There were 3 different occasions where Purdy had to look down because the rush is coming and climb the pocket, and he rushed a throw, which I'm not even mad at Purdy. We could talk about other passes that he's missed. That's fine. I thought it was an okay game from Brock Purdy. He actually made an unbelievable throw to George Kittle over the middle. Yeah. He made a couple of really nice throws, and Debo made some great, you know, contorted, twisting catches in traffic. But you have to give that man time to throw the ball as well, and I thought that he was under duress all game. They were sending 5 when the Niners were ready for 4. Like, they did a really good job staying ahead of them.
Well, they confused Brock Purdy a lot yesterday.
And then he made a couple of scramble plays and throws to Juice and throws to Debo on the sideline that were like, wow, those are nice plays. But to me, it's like when you have Kittle and you have Debo and you have Ayuk, I'll hear you on Christian in the passing game. There's no doubt. But you ran the ball 12 for 72 in the first half, and you still have 3 really, really, really good pass targets. I'm sorry, you got to score more than 17 points.
No, I agree. There's no doubt about that. It's no doubt about that. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Rhea in Lancaster. You know it's football season. You know, I know it's a down household right now with your husband being a Cowboy fan, but he has nothing to talk about right now, Rhea.
No, it was bad yesterday. We were at the sports bar. He was ready to leave, like, way before his game was even over. I was like, no, my game is – I'm still competitive right now, but we're not going anywhere.
What you got, man? Break down the game for us.
Good morning. Let me start by saying, thanks to heavens, we have Fred Warner. This man, I feel like we don't even pay him enough. And he better be a Niner for life. I don't want him going anywhere because his heart – everybody needs to have a little bit of what he has inside to want to get these wins, you know, handled. But I also wanted to say, Kyle Shanahan, I recognize him trying to change a little bit, going for it on fourth and goal, but why are you passing on fourth and goal? Why aren't you running the ball? I was like, what is that, Kyle? And do you not have a fourth quarter hurry-up offense scheme on that laminated sheet of yours? Like, like we need to hurry up. What are you doing? No huddles. This is wasting time, these huddles. Let's go. We need to get the ball back. Even if we score, we're still down. Why are you wasting time with huddles, you know? But I'm not going to panic. I'm going to be at SoFi on Sunday. I'm going to cheer for a get right. Let's get back. Let's get a winning streak going again. I just hope we can overcome this loss. This was bad.
Can they overcome the loss of Christian McCaffrey long term?
I think they can. He just has to be different. He has to spread it around more. I don't know. He has to just be more creative.
I respect that. Good to hear from you, dear.
You know, she made a point about Fred Warner. It's going to get lost in this game, and you were referencing it in our group thread. I mean, he made two legendary plays.
He's the best defensive player in football. He may be one of the best players in football, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's the most important defensive player on the San Francisco 49ers. God forbid anything happens to him. Because they were on the interception play. Remember before the play pre-snap, they were scrambling around. Doubt. He's like telling people to line up right. And Fred makes this unbelievable play with the outstretched arms. Now the safety may pick it off afterwards, but Fred grabbing that ball, saving the game. They're about to be down 17-0. And then the fumble with Aaron Jones, I was ready to check out. At that play, I was like, this game's cooked. If Fred Warner comes up with that play, I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys may really steal this game.
His knack to punch the ball out is uncanny. He did it to Darnold on the sidelines, too, where Darnold was scrambling. He made a great play to stay in front of Aaron Jones on a toss play where it was just him and Aaron Jones. I'm ready to say it, and I know people are like, oh, no. Like, right now, at minimum, he's equivalent to Patrick Willis. To me, they're equivalent, right? For their eras. This is the gold standard linebacker for his era. Pat was the gold standard linebacker for his era. They're equivalents. They're peers. They're not. One is not higher than the other. It's okay to say it. The other thing that I want to say about the clock management thing, I just... Shanahan, and Purdy, too. I'm granting Purdy a little leniency because he's only in his third year. He's a young player. Brady and Belichick sat down about a decade ago, and they were going over all of these specific spots in the game. And Brady and Belichick determined that if it takes you about 15 to 35 seconds to complete a pass over the middle of the field, okay, and get everybody to run up, depending on how deep those routes are run, and run another play. On second down, a slant that doesn't get you a first down or a big
chunk is a waste of a play
because you're fighting the clock. You have to throw that ball into the ground. And on multiple occasions, they got into a situation where they were ready to kick a field goal or could have kicked a field goal or ran up and spiked the ball. Instead, what they're doing is running pass plays to Sauber in the middle of the field, allowing the clock to tick, 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 tick. And to me, it's equally on Shanahan. I take a little off of Purdy because he's still player.
It's both, though.
But they've got to know. They're giving you the Sauber play over the middle because clock is their friend.
In hindsight, look, in real time, I agree with Shanahan being aggressive. I want to go back to the fourth down play at the goal line. Because I heard Purdy after the game, he say, you know, our scheme, it allows that free rusher. Well, every time they run a five wide, I get flashbacks of the Super Bowl. PTSD when Trent McDuffie's blitzing there, and he's a free rusher, and he gets a PBU, a pass breakup. Well, Van Ginkle yesterday gets the pass breakup, and he's coming in as a free rusher. So the scheme that you're employing here into five wide sets or four wide sets, you're allowing a free rusher. We got to fix that because at the goal line, look, I'm okay with the decision. But those 3 points loom large at the end of the game. Those are hitting points. The 3 points that you didn't get there mm-hmm. and the 3 points that you gave up before halftime, look, you kicked the field goal. All of a sudden, Minnesota's setting up at the 20-yard line. There's no 97-yard touchdown, right? I mean, it's crazy. In real time, I appreciate the aggressiveness. I did. I was like, wow, okay, Shanahan's going for it. I really didn't have any big issue with it because you were pinning them back deep. But think about that. You don't get that. You give up the 3 points.
No doubt.
And then at the end of the half, you give up a 3rd-and-13 to Justin Jefferson, and boom, situational football was just not played yesterday. So all aspects, clock management, situational football, getting off the field on 3rd down, when to go for it, when not to go for it. They just got out-coached. They got out-hit. That was the other thing. We're not talking about it enough. The Minnesota Vikings beat down the 49ers. They battered them. They're the more physical team and a team that prides itself on being physical. They punked the Niners yesterday and bullied them.
There was one guy on both sides of the ball that did not back down, Fred Warner being one. Jordan Mason didn't back down either. Jordan Mason had a hell of a game.
Jordan Mason had a hell of a game.
Second half, he did get bottled up. There's no doubt, and it became more of a passing game. B, he had a play, a couple of jump cuts that were ridiculous. One where he jumped through a tackle and then shook. Jordan Mason doesn't. He needed to come out of that game with 25 touches. I know he got the 20 rushes. I thought that they should have ran the ball down at the goal line a couple more times. That's personally we can argue about pass versus run and whatever. Throwing to Juwan Jennings on 4th down. I know Juwan's a clutch player for this team. You do have Kittle, you know, in the red zone. Would love to see Kittle get ISO'd in the red zone. I know he did have the red zone touchdown on the screen pass. I just
thought they got bullied. But I thought overall Minnesota was a more physical team.
I would agree.
They were the faster team. They were the sharper team. They executed at a high level. The penalties right now is just alarming right now all across the league. Flags everywhere. Flag this, flag that. College football, flag this, flag that. At some point, and I said this last week, and I mentioned this last week, we're going to have to start playing guys in the preseason. These starts, this sloppiness in the month of September, I know you're going to risk injuries or whatnot, but these guys need to get a quarter of football in. They are not buttoned up right now, all over the place. Illegal formations, illegal shifts, you're not lined up right, false starts. I mean, oh my gosh, it is all across football, college, high school, and pro.
That would require players to actually come into camp on time, right? So, like, I hear you, but...
Well, I don't care about those players.
What are you talking about?
If those players don't come, I need the whole team. It wasn't just those players making mistakes.
Has Trent been good the last two weeks?
Trent didn't allow a pass rush last week against the New York Jets. He had 33 pass blocks. Right. It didn't allow one pressure.
He came out of the game because he needed an IV.
Yeah, he was...
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.